While the offering's being passed, I'm going to make a couple announcements. You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as well. While you're turning there, we had been scheduled to go to Tasco a week from today for a medical mission trip. Let me give you an update on some things that are going on down there. As you know, Guerrero is a very hostile place with drug cartel and whatnot. And our United States has upgraded the security level of Guerrero to a level 4, which is the highest security threat that you can go to down there. The BGCO is not sending any groups down there at this time, and they recommended to us that we do the same, that we not send any groups for the next 3 to 4 months. And so what I regret to say, we're going to have to pull the plug on this trip. This is a non-essential trip for our personnel. Okay, like the medical caravan that's going to take place a week from tomorrow, it's going to happen whether or not our group went. Okay, so we were considered non-essential personnel, and so we feel like that being the case, we need to withdraw. So we will not be going to Guerrero for the next 3 to 4 months at the advice of the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma until things kind of settle down there. We felt like that was best for our people at this time. What you can do is we can still, the caravan, it's still going to go on. The medical caravan is still happening. We're still sending glasses. We just have to update the date because we're going to mail them first thing Tuesday morning. So if you're giving glasses, if you plan on giving glasses this week, rather than turn them in Thursday, if you could turn them in tomorrow so we can send them in first thing. We have already sent money down there. We do prescriptions, medical antibiotics and whatnot. We send money ahead of time. We pay for fuel for the caravan, for the team coming, for the team that's in Mexico, for them to be able to eat while they're there. That costs money. And so if you're interested in giving towards that, we still want the gospel to go out, right? Like last year, there were 99 professions of faith through this medical caravan, and we anticipate God to save a week from tomorrow. Still pray for Guerrero. Still send. If you want to give towards that, mark your envelope, Mexico, Tasco. We'll get it to where it needs to go. But we just feel like for the safety of our particular group, we needed to withdraw. Now you say, well, you talk a lot about not being safe. So what about risking for the Lord? Listen, if there was anyone from our church that felt called to go to Guerrero as a missionary, and they said, whether or not you support us, we're going. Listen, we'd be fully supportive of that and sending and whatnot. But we're not going to ask volunteers to go in a hostile place unless they're just really, you know what I'm saying, really, really called to that location. So that being said, let me point out a couple other things. Today at 4 o'clock, we have our leadership training. If you are a leader in any role here, we meet once a month. It happens to be this Sunday at 4 o'clock. We're going to have some training on leadership today as well as look at curriculum. Maybe God has been stirring in your heart to be a leader this year. And you don't know what that looks like. You don't know what the role. You just know God's doing something in you. Then come at 4 o'clock for some training that will help you throughout the year. And then next week is our Marriage 2.0, Marriage Refresh. It is an evening event from 6 to 8 next Sunday. We will have Ted's is coming in catering for us. We're going to have Ted and Jerry Kirsch. They're going to come do a marriage event for us. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be challenging. And so we need you to sign up for that. You can do that online or contact the church office, but you need to do so quick so we can make sure we get your food ordered. And also, if you have children, we got a limited number left of children of space in our children's area, so we want you to sign up for that and be a part of that. All right? Okay, good. So we're in 1 Corinthians. Has your heart been encouraged this morning? Like just worshiping with you. Like it does something to my heart to gather with believers that's different than if I were to just sing in the car or the shower or wherever I'm at. Listen, gathering together as believers, singing to the Lord, just it does something to my heart. Now we had 24 in our covenant membership class this morning that we're really excited about. about whether or not God's leading them, you know, to belong with us. But listen, we are a covenant people, and what that means is that God has not only saved us, you know, personally, but that you and I are called to do life together and to walk side by side together. And by the way, the text here captures this. Okay, like the text that captures the fact that we are called into fellowship with the Son is what it's going to read in verse 9. We are called, okay? Like we. Like not just you, not just me, but we are called. Like we belong together here, okay? We belong together serving the Lord shoulder to shoulder, pushing back darkness in the city of Skytook, right? Like we belong. The loud with the quiet. The bold with the shy. Those who are very visible in gifts with those who do things behind the scenes. Like we are all called and we are all wrapped up in this, and there's a community that exists that is formed in Christ. And I want to show you what that looks like here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So if you found that, if you would stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word, we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed in you, so that you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. So I've been having a little bit of trouble with a doorknob at my house, and Gary came over and we worked on it for a little bit. It was going good until Gary, I didn't tell you this, but one day last week, it happened to be the coldest day I think Oklahoma's ever seen, that doorknob just kind of fell off whenever I went to open the door. Okay, and it's like before school, I'm trying to help get the kids out the door. We're trying to load up, and it's like, it's frigid outside. It's miserable outside. I mean, it's so cold that whenever I go, and I'm like, I have my hand on the outside of the doorknob, and on the inside, you know, trying to put it back together, it feels like my skin is burning as I'm touching that cold metal. You guys know what I'm talking about? It was miserable last week, but what wasn't miserable was being inside. Okay? Like I could curl up next to my sweetheart, and we could watch a movie on TV with a blanket and all that stuff, and it would just be nice and cozy. That wasn't miserable. All right? That was pretty good. Okay? So listen, what you're in changes everything. Okay? And like the secret to this text, the secret of joyful community is not that we're all together, but the secret to joyful community is that we're all together in Christ. Okay? Like in Christ changes everything. What we have in Christ changes everything. And so the secret to community formed is that we do things, that we're not just here because this is a Baptist church, or because this is church, or because your kids like the kids program, or this because what you've always done. We are here, and what is formed is a group of people that have aligned under some beliefs in Christ. And so this morning, what we're going to look at what it means to be in Christ. And then we're going to gather around the communion table to be able to celebrate what we have in Christ. You guys with me? All right. Number one, here's what we have in Christ. Number one, we have grace. in Christ. We have grace in Christ. So if you look at verse 4, it says, I give thanks to my God always for you. Listen, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. And if you think about God's grace is mind-blowing. I mean, it's not like, God's grace is not like man's grace. Think about when you extend grace. Okay, like we extend grace, but usually we extend grace because we at some level identify with whoever we have to extend grace to. Like for instance, if someone wrongs me, I can extend grace because I can reason that I've made mistakes too. I'm not perfect. I can identify with you to a certain level, and because I'm sinful and because you're sinful, I can extend some grace to you. Okay? Like that's how man extends grace, because we're guilty too. All of us have sinned. We've all made mistakes. So I can be gracious to you because everyone makes mistakes, right? It could have been me making the same mistake. Or we extend grace because we don't know the extent of the offense against us. Okay, so like imagine one of my kids coming up crying to me and saying, oh, I broke your phone. And me saying, oh, that's okay. You know, that's okay. It was an accident. Now imagine me finding out that they are playing football with my phone in the living room, throwing it across the room. That changes things, right? Like we extend grace if we don't know the extent of the offense against us. We show grace because we're guilty too. We show grace because we don't know the extent of the offense against us. But listen, God's different because He's not guilty. Right? Like God's not sitting up in heaven saying, oh, I think I'll give Him grace because I've made mistakes too. I've messed up too. They've messed up. I've messed up. We both messed up. Let's just kind of sweep things in the rug. Listen, God is guiltless. He extends grace. The only one that shouldn't have to, because He's perfect and right and good. He extends grace. He's not guilty. And listen, God sees all. Like God knows how much of a scoundrel I am, right? Like you just got like the faith. You just got like the preacher on Sunday, right? Like up here, you see, oh, he's such a good guy. He's a preacher. This, that. Listen. You just see the surface. God sees how miserable of a person I am. Okay? Like he sees the deepest, darkest crevice of you and me. And listen, what makes God's grace so magnificent is that He isn't guilty. He sees all we do, yet He still pardons. Ephesians 2, what Scott just quoted that a minute ago, in between songs. Ephesians 2 tells us how we're saved, tells us how we get grace. It says that by grace you have been saved. It's a gift of God. Not by works. Listen, we don't get grace because of anything that we do. Like this is so important to understanding salvation. Okay, because listen, God doesn't just enable us to be saved. Like He doesn't just say, okay, I'll die on the cross. I'll throw out the knowledge. Then hopefully they'll figure it out. Like He doesn't enable us to be saved according to Ephesians chapter 2. According to Ephesians chapter 2, He saves. Like salvation belongs to God. The drawing, the gift, the gift of faith, all these things that God, He doesn't enable us to be saved. He saves. Like salvation, grace, it belongs to God. We've got to be careful not to ever move on from grace. You know, I think we're okay with coming to God, asking for forgiveness, asking to be saved, because we know how we need Him. But I think if we're not careful, we move on very quickly to behavior modification. That I come to God by grace, I don't deserve it, He saves me. But then it's my job to clean myself up. And if we're not careful, what we do as Christians who mean well is that we get into this mode of following Christ is, I've got to do this, 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 and this. And I better not do this, 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 and this. And we very quickly move from grace into, it's my job to do this, my job to do that. God saved me way back then, and now it's my job to clean myself up. If we move from grace, listen, to behavior modification, all we do is begin to justify self, and we lose the reason Christ died. We just sang Amazing Grace. We sang the modern version that Chris Tomlin does. The old one was written by John Newton. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Here's what John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, here's what he said about grace. Growth in grace primarily means growth in the realization of your need for grace and your dependence upon it. So like for John Newton, it's not that we move past grace, it's that we move deeper into it. As we realize more fully what Christ has done for us and our need for Him, we need Him as much today as the day we gave our lives to Him. What we have in Christ, we have grace in Christ. And by the way, a community formed in Christ, if we have grace in Christ, listen, then that means that we should be able to extend grace to each other. We're quick to want it. We're slow to extend it. Listen, whenever we fall into His grace, when He saves us and He changes us, and I'm in His grace, I get grace in Christ, and you get grace in Christ. Listen, that changes the way we interact with each other. We're able to extend grace we've been given. Number one, here's what we get in Christ. Number one, we get grace in Christ. Number two, we're also enriched in Christ. Number one, grace in Christ. Number two, enriched in Christ. Christ, what we're going to see here is that Christ, that being in Christ enriches all things in life. Okay, like I used to think, like I gave my life to the Lord at age 7. And really, there wasn't a lot of bad you can do up to age 7, you know, like compared with other times in life. And so whenever I get into teenage years and I get into college years, I kind of go through this phase, if you will, where I begin to see my friends looking like they're having fun, right? There's this season in life where it's like I read what it says in the Bible about a full life in Christ, but the world seems to be enjoying things. You know, they seem to be having fun. And so for a season in life, I tried things of the world, like Solomon as he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, right? You know what I found? That Christ is better. That life in Him is more fulfilling, more enriching than anything that the world has to offer. Like He enriches all things. Now look with me, just in case you don't believe me. Look at verse 5. That in every way you were enriched in Him. Okay? Every way enriched in Christ. Now look, just in case you're like me and maybe a little slow on what Paul's talking about, he begins to spell out some of these ways that we're enriched. Listen, enriched in Him in all speech. You know what that means? That means that over time, that the words that come out of our lips, if we're in Christ, begin to speak more of Christ and be more honoring of Christ and more centered around Christ. It says in all speech, in all knowledge. Okay, like there's this depth, there's this fullness that is available in Christ that if we just press further into Him, we get to walk in this depth. Okay? But like it's more than just skimming the surface, it's more than just having a knowledge of Him. Okay, it's this depth that we can get to if we press into Him. And so it's like the Apostle Paul, as he writes the book of Philippians, he says, for me to live is Christ. Okay, that's cool. I want to live. But to die is gain. Like that's foreign to us, right? Like he says things. Paul is at a level that you and I probably aren't. A depth you and I probably aren't. But then he gets to the end of Philippians, and after he just says, if you let me live, that's great, that's Christ. But if you kill me, that's going to be even better. Like none of us say that. But by the end of Philippians chapter, you get to chapter 3, and what Paul is saying is, I just want to know him. I just want to know the power. Like I'm not there yet, but I want to be. What kind of man who is like this spiritually, because I don't even know him like I want to. So the knowledge, the enrichment of knowledge in Christ, that's what Paul's getting at here in Corinthians. There's this depth that's available to you and I if we press in. Like there's this enrichment. He enriches us. Then what does it say? Verse 6, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. So there's an enriched testimony. Okay, listen, we think of testimony as when Christ saved me way back as a 7-year-old. And listen, that's true. That's when I came to faith in Christ. But listen, if there's nothing else to tell between age 7 and age 35, what I am right now, what's going on? Because according to Scripture, He enriches us and He gives us more testimonies along the way because He's involved in our lives and He gives us a story. And as He pours His grace out upon us, grace upon grace upon grace, and we walk through seasons of life where we have to trust Him. And we shouldn't be joyful because of the circumstance, but we are. That's Christ enriching our story, enriching our testimony. He enriches all things. Look at verse 7. So that you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's an enriching of the gifts that He gives you. Yesterday we were working out in the yard, and Evan said, he was asking me about my longest sermon, and I won't tell you how long that was, but then he asked about my shortest sermon. And I said, oh, that's easy. That was my first sermon I ever preached. I preached 7 minutes. And I want to approach carefully what I'm about to say. I feel like from the first sermon to now that there's a stronger anointing on the preaching. Not me per se, but God anointing the process of His Word being proclaimed through me and through you, right? Like through our gifts. Like there's more of that now than when I preached my first sermon at 16 that lasted 7 minutes. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, I don't know. I'd go for a lot of those 7 minutes. That might be better. According to Scripture, that the gifts that He's given us and the way that we operate in those gifts become stronger and more bold as we walk with Him, and He enriches us over time. Over time, as we spend time with Him, there's enrichment in all things according to His Word. You know what all things mean? All things means that there's enrichment for your marriage. That the way your speech, right? That's what He's talking about. The way you talk to your spouse. You know, it mentions knowledge. The way you serve use your gifts to serve your spouse. The knowledge that you have pressing into God that then translates to your spouse. That your marriage is enriched because we're in Christ. That your parenting is enriched because you're in Christ. The way you treat your kids, raise your kids, talk to your kids, serve your kids. You know, we're doing family worship, which is we're really emphasizing that on Sunday nights. And like I'm hearing stories from you of how it's going, and it makes me really excited. I'm not gonna like have everybody raise their hands, but just like people either messaging me on Facebook or like I'm talking to them, and they're saying, hey, this is what we're doing in family worship. We had over 70 people that just told me last week that I gathered my family around the Word. That's exciting. Okay? You know what else I'm hearing? I'm doing this, but I'm really scared to death. I really don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm using the resources, and that's helping. Thank you for those. but this is new to me, and it's making me a little uneasy. Several of our guys from my small group have read The Insanity of God. I talk about that book quite a bit. There's a guy in there named Dmitri, and it was he lived in Russia, you know, communist. They could have church, but it was only what the communists could tell you could say or couldn't say. And he said, my family is floundering because I'm not gathering, because they don't know the word. And he said, I've got to teach my family the word. But he said, I don't know how to do that. I've not been trained. I don't know what to do. And so he just started reading the Bible to his family. And that grew into him teaching the Bible to his family. And then the neighbors began to figure out what was going on in his family and started coming. Before it was all said and done, you couldn't get another human being in his house because it was so packed. A guy who didn't know what he was doing. As he pressed into God, God began to enrich his time around the Word with his family, that a great movement of God started in that place as a result of this man being enriched by Christ. Enriched in all things. I mean, you be enriched in your joy, enriched in your contentment, enriched in your growth. The wonderful thing about God is He doesn't just save us and then throw us a Bible. And I hope they figure it out. He enriches us, and He feeds us, and He walks with us, and He's patient with us. He's committed to enriching you in all things along the way. If that's the case, we're all, as individuals, enriched in Christ. And certainly, we can also be enriched in enriching towards each other. That we can come alongside each other. Walk with each other. That's what covenant membership is. That I love you, you love me, we're walking together. That I love you too much to allow your life to spiral out of control with sin. That I'm going to step in and you're going to hopefully do the same for me. That we're committed to each other. Because we're committed to Christ. I had a couple call me this week. Empty nesters. Their kids are grown up, and they were talking about family worship, and they said we feel like we've got some things that we can offer because we've been in your shoes. Not that we know it all, just that we've been in the spot that a lot of these parents with young kids have, and we gathered our kids around the Word and we taught them the Word. We feel like we have some things that we can walk with young couples with. Is it all right if we walk with a young couple and be a part of their family worship, teach them how to lead their kids? Listen, this is a couple that gets it, right? Because you and I are called to be an extension of God's love and mercy towards each other, to enrich each other along the way. And one of the best ways that we do that, one of the best ways Christ enriches His people, is when we walk together. Number one, we get grace in Christ. We have grace in Christ. Number two, we are enriched in Christ. Number three, we are sustained in Christ. We are sustained in Christ. Look at verse 7. So that you're not lacking any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Who will sustain you to the end? That's good. He'll sustain us to the end. You know, I think the place many Christians find themselves in is God is disappointed in me. Right? Like you promised you weren't going to do it again. You asked for forgiveness 100 times only to find that 101st time you're back in. You haven't been faithful in church or tithing or serving. Listen, Christians get this mindset that God is somehow disappointed in me. That I've let Him down. And I can't approach Him. There's too much shame. There's too much disappointment. Listen, Ephesians 1 says that before the foundations of the world, before you had a chance to do anything good or bad, says, before the foundations of the world, God predestined us to be adopted into His family. All the good we do and all the bad along the way. Now, this is a Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Actually, tomorrow is Sanctity of Human Life Day. And since Roe versus Wade, I think we're at 60 million abortions since 1973. The greatest tragedy and shame that our country has ever taken part of. Sanctity of Human Life. Listen, it's not just about the unborn, okay? But it's also about the born. Those in foster care, those who need to be adopted. If we value life, then we should value all life. You know, several years back, most of you know the story. God opened our hearts to foster care and adoption. And listen, we go into this process knowing that it's going to be messy, knowing it's going to be that the way DHS works is they pull you in different directions, and they pull the kid and they place the kid, and listen all these things, all the heartache. We knew it would be a painful road, and it has been. Listen, you throw out all Catherine's medical problems, and it's still a painful road. The way the system works. They've been two of the greatest blessings that we've ever had. And we would not trade them for any 10 of you. Can I tell you that God looks at us the same way? Like you think He didn't know you're going to sin? Like you gave your life to Him in 1983. You think that He didn't know that 1997 you were going to struggle, and that you were going to go through a season where you were going to be just completely shelved because you weren't what? You think God didn't know that? You think God didn't know our road when He set out to save us? Listen, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God." Then he goes on to verse 2. It says, it talks about how we don't know what we're going to be like, but when He comes, we'll be like Him. You know what that means? We're not like Him now. That when we're with Him, we're going to be like Him. In between, there's lots of messy times. There's lots of sinfulness. There's lots of selfishness. Can I tell you, though, that He's committed to sustaining you? If you're here this morning and you're struggling with sin, listen. From the bottom of my heart, listen, God does not regret saving you. He loves you. If we are in Christ, listen, you are bound to Jesus, and He paid too high a price not to sustain you. That's why it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I'm confident of this, that He who started this good work in me is going to carry it to completion till the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't sustain yourself. He does. He is committed to not only saving you, but seeing the end result come to fruition. So we don't have to give up on each other. Right? Like if He doesn't give up on us, we don't have to give up on each other. Like you have to work really hard to get yourself out of here once you're here. People come and like to me and they're like, I'm struggling with this. You know what we do? We walk together. We incorporate other men along the way if it's a guy. If there's a girl struggling with something, we incorporate ladies with her. and we walk together. You got to work hard to get out. You got to work hard to get out of here. Like, you know, the ones who get out are the ones that come and say, "I know what God's word says, but I'm not going to do it." And they kind of just pull themselves out. Listen, we're not going to lay down on the word and say, "Okay, we'll just sweep it on the carpet." We stand on the truth of God. And as long as that's your heart, and as long as that's the direction, we can struggle for years together. And we will. But you have to work hard to take yourself out. By saying, I know what it says, but I'm just not going to do it. I don't care. Because He sustains us. Because He's committed to seeing the process through to the end. We can do the same with each other. Changes everything. Number one, grace in Christ. Number two, we see we're enriched in Christ. Number three, we see that we are sustained in Christ. And number four, we see that we are guiltless in Christ. Verse 8, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, sin is grievous, right? Like, it's sin destroys everything. And like your sin, like my sin, like it's a big deal. Like, I'm not trying to minimize our sin. Like, our sin is hideous. Like, you want to know how big a deal sin is? Look in Scripture of how Jesus was slaughtered because of your sin. Because of my sin. Listen, our sin is horrible. Our sin has to be paid for, but grace is stunning. Listen, God is the judge who slams the gavel down and says, "Not guilty." He is not guilty in Christ. I am not guilty in Christ. My sin debt has been canceled. Listen, God acts toward you as judge, not according to your sin, but according to the punishment that Christ took for your sin. Sanctity of human life. Sunday, talking about abortion, the unborn. Listen, I try to be sensitive every time we talk about this. Because I know in a room like this with this many ladies, there are ladies in this room that have had abortions. You know, maybe it's 20 years ago, maybe it was last year, 6 months ago. There are people here that, I don't know who, but just looking at statistics, there are ladies here who have had abortions. I know every time that comes up, there's this guilt. There's this shame. Something you have done in your past. But every time it's brought up, it's heavy on you. Can I tell you that Christ took that sin? And with that, He takes the shame. You are no longer guilty. We are sinful. We're still sinful, but listen, in God's sight, we are accepted, righteous, guiltless in Christ. We are guiltless. Now, I talk a lot about and post a lot of things on Facebook about a colleague, Pastor Jeremy Freeman. He's at First Baptist Newcastle, and his son. You've been following the story, probably. It's been on the news and whatnot. Son, auto accident, still more or less in a coma. They transferred him to a hospital in Denver. But just following their stories. Listen, my heart links with that family in a way that others might not, who have not had a child in the hospital with just incredible different medical needs. Like, if you've been there, you know. Right? Like I know what he feels as he sits in the hospital wondering if his child's gonna wake up and why they're not getting better. Like, I know what he feels like wondering how many days or months or years is this gonna take Is it ever going to be the same? Am I ever going to get back to my family? Am I ever going to get to the point where life is normal? We buried Dorothy Pippin last week. Many of you don't know her, but she's a longtime member, been in a nursing home for a while. A daughter buried her mother. A grandchild, the grandmother. Listen, if you've been there, you know. Like Terry Abel is down in Southeast Oklahoma burying her dad tomorrow. Like I don't identify with her. I've not lost my dad. My wife has lost hers. Like, listen, when you go through similarity, when you go through something together, or you go through similarities, you're bound together. Did you know the fact that there's grace in Christ, that we've experienced grace in Christ, that we've been enriched in Christ, that we've been sustained in Christ, that we're guiltless in Christ, we have been bound together. There's a tie that binds us here. That can't happen in the world that knows no Christ. So they work real hard, right? Like work real hard for unity out here, and they do marches and rallies and all these things, trying to get people to come along when it comes to race or this issue or that issue. Listen, what we have, we are guiltless together, not based off what we've done, but based on what Christ has done for us. Look at how this ends, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you are called in the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God is faithful. He's faithful. He didn't conquer our sin, only to leave us in our current sins or our future sins. Like He didn't conquer sin. He didn't die for us, only to leave us there. Like He's faithful. He's going to continue working things. He's going to continue moving us in a direction. What's our responsibility? To press into Him. Like our responsibility in this is not to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, grit our teeth, and get the job done. Our job is to hold up more to Him, to press into Him more, to surrender more. He is our Lord. That's our responsibility, and our responsibility is to do it together. To do this together. Don't neglect such a strong gift that He's given us, which is each other. Let me point out a couple more things. Listen. Verse 1. See if you can get the word. Paul, called by the will of God. Verse 2, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called. I coach third grade boys basketball along with Coach Woodall sitting over there. We coach. We got 8 players. That means 3's on the bench at all times. Their favorite thing to say, to ask, when did I get in? When I get in? You know when they get in the game? When I call their name and say, you're in. Then they're in. You know that you don't just wake up with grace. You don't just wake up in Christ. Scripturally, you don't even decide to do that. That happens when God calls your name. Like there is no relationship with God apart from Him first calling you. I wonder if He's calling some today. That's what I've been praying. That God would call someone today into a relationship with Him. That they would call someone, that they walk in here not in Christ and leave here in Christ because Christ calls. Listen, if that's you, there's going to be guys and girls here to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. I'll be right up here. If God's calling you today, you come talk to me. I've been praying for you. This is the day. If this is the day, this is the day. And you respond how God leads you to. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it speaks. I thank you for all you've done. Everything key here in this passage of Scripture, everything is what you have done for us, not what we've done for you. So God, we give you glory. God, I pray that as we sing, we worship. God, maybe you call us to pray. But God, maybe we just worship. Maybe we worship what you've done. That you called us to grace. That you sustain us. That you enrich us. That we're guiltless in you. Maybe we worship. Maybe we celebrate that. God, give someone courage that if you're calling them, step out and trust you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.